John, good deal. All right, so in my review of Proverbs, before we got started with new stuff, I figured I'd, like I said, do a review, and we're looking at Solomon, the writer, because it seems like, and I've said this before, that a lot of people look at out of the Old Testament saints and they run them down. Okay. Yeah, they were human, for sure. They were human. They had faults. But the running down of them, come on. I mean, I've heard a lot of preaching against Abraham, not against Abraham, but that run down Abraham for what he did in Egypt. You know, this is my sister. And people say, people run him down for that. Now, it's a bonehead thing to do, but, you know, which one of us was declared to be the friend of God? Seriously. And other people, like, and Solomon's one of those, because they point out in his life, well, he allowed his 800 wives and concubines, 800, 700, I don't know, the number changes, depending on who speaks, but he allowed his wives and concubines to turn his heart. How many people have we known in churches that allow, oh, the Super Bowl's on, and it changes their heart? People will abandon church to go watch the Super Bowl. Oh, I got to watch all the pregame. Got to watch all this stuff. Oh, yeah. Or churches will even set up in the basement a big screen TV, before they were common, and they would have a Super Bowl party after church. Right? They'd skip Sunday school, have the same message. Oh, Super Bowl party downstairs. And they wouldn't have an evening service. So, I mean, you stop and think about it. 700-800 women nagging at you day and night. Come on, that's going to work on you. Sorry, ladies, but, you know, when you get down to it, us, we have little excuse. I mean, we have very little excuse for the times that we allow the world to change our heart away from God. Okay? And that's what it was. It was away from God, not against God, even though you could argue the point it's just semantics, but it's away from God. Okay? Some people in churches today allow the speaker to come up and to sway their heart and mind to the speaker. You know? Oh, that guy's coming to preach today? I'm not going to show up. That guy's doing Sunday school? I'm not going to show up. Oh, we get this guy coming? I'm not going to be here all week. Okay? It's happened. Oh, the pastor's going to be gone? Well, then I'm not going to be there either. Okay? There's been a lot of churches I've been in, the pastor's gone, and we got about half the people that normally show up because, oh, the pastor's gone. See, it doesn't take a whole lot for us. Heck, we've even had people come to the pastor and say, hey, let's not have that guy anymore. Let's get some new blood in here. You know, I don't know. I'm not tired of Brother Sumbledorf. And he's been coming here since his kids were little. And look, they're all grown, and his kids are old now. Brother Sumbledorf's okay, but his kids are old. It doesn't take a whole lot for us to have our hearts and minds changed, turned away from God. You know? We sang that song just now about the word of the Lord, the testimonies of the Lord. You know, all these things are more to be desired than gold. And yet sometimes we don't do that. We say, oh, it's the word of God. It's just the Bible. You know? We get home Sundays and we toss it on wherever we toss it and just let it go. You know? In years past, I know that's disrespectful, in years past, the very written word of God was considered so important that people gave their very lives for a copy, to hide a copy. In the prison camps in World War II, the Jews, even Christians that were taken, hid copies of the Word of God to a point where if any was found, that was considered contraband, and they would die. And they knew that if they had a copy of anything, some people didn't even have a whole entire book. They just had portions in certain pages, which they revered. Why? Because it's not the writings of men, it's the writing of the very God in heaven, who spake unto men. And we've all believed this because everybody can quote that verse and chapter. He spake unto men. And they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And yet somehow, because we're generations away from it, we have a tendency to think It's just writings. It's just advice. Good advice that we can take or leave. You know? We say, you know, in our prayers that sometimes we would, you know, apply the Word of God to our hearts and to our lives. No. We don't not just need to apply the Word of God. We need to embrace the Word of God, to love the Word of God. And I wrote this out because I can't remember. And I closed the line. We need to consider that they are more desired than gold. Hey, a lot of people have had their heart turned by a job. Oh, this job's not working out, so I'm going to move, but I got to move to another part of the country. Well, is there a church there you can join? I don't know. Okay, you're going to where there's a church? I moved up here. I love this country. Yeah, I love to hunt and fish and do all that stuff. Moved here from Southern California, the greater Los Angeles Basin. The air is clean up here. I'm serious. Even in the wintertime when everybody's burning their wood and stuff, I can look out. Man, it's actually pretty clear compared to L.A., you know? And it's like, wow, this is a guy. And I moved up here. Well, is there a church here? No, but there's a guy coming up to start a work. I'm going to join the work. Okay. And before he came, we were up here a couple months before he came, we went to a church in Spokane Valley. All the way from where I live to Spokane Valley. It's like, wow, people. It's no longer than a Sabbath day journey. It didn't take me a whole day to get there. Not even a half hour sometimes. But it's still one of those things that, you know, people get their hearts turned by so many different things. And some of it's, oh, I need a job. I bought a house. Oh, where are you moving to? Oh, the north side of the city. Oh, then we'll see you in church. No, it's too far to go. Sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, a distance. We used to have that. I used to work for Abacus Office Machines. That's up there at the corner of Hamilton and Nevada. Oh, Hamilton and Nevada, both north-south streets. Yeah. Well, Hamilton comes up and joins into Nevada. So there's a corner there. It's a very sharp corner. So right there, 2928 North Nevada. There are people that would not come from the valley, Otis Orchards. Oh, that's too far. Well, there's nothing out there to repair your machine. I mean, and I come from way over there in Idaho. And it's like too far. My boss, I had one boss that lived up on the river. The river being the Ponderay River. Usk, Cusick, somewhere in there. Outside of Old Town. No, it's Newport on this side. It's Old Town on the other side. A couple miles out of Newport. And he's the owner. Well, we travel this distance. And yet people say it's too far. Well, people with churches do the same thing. Oh, no, now it's too far. When I move over there, I won't be able to go. Well, there's not a church over there. I mean, and it only takes you another 10 minutes to get here by car. I mean, and plus the traffic's really light on Sundays. It is, honest. Okay. Except in the fall when people are starting to go fishing, Chinook fishing out on Ponderay and Coeur d'Alene. You meet a lot of boats. Just, those guys, big boats. But it's like, you know, we cannot cast stones at other people. Remember Jesus. He's just walking around doing what he does, preaching and all this stuff. And these guys brought in this woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. There she is. First question in my mind is, where's the guy? What's this, entrapment? It's the morality police. Oh, by the way, they still have that in the Islamic countries. A young lady was stoned here pretty recently. She was killed because that little thing around her face was too loose. I didn't know you had to have a certain tension on that little thing that covered her face. But she was taken out and she was killed. She was executed for that. Okay. But these people brought that woman. And Jesus started to stoop down and, you know, started writing on the ground. What he wrote, I don't know. There's a lot of guesses. I'm not going to guess, but whatever it is, these guys, what are you doing? Don't you think care? And I bet you they looked over his shoulder as he was writing. And whatever words he wrote, convicted their heart. Because after he was done writing, he stood up and he said, "You who are without sin, cast that first stone." To all those guys right here. And you know, it just wasn't those guys. It was the entire city that had gathered around. I mean, people were up on the street, on the parapets, on the top of the roofs. They were looking down because I bet you these Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees brought that woman and made a big show of it. "We're going to test this prophet of God." And so he had a whole audience. I mean, just more than half a dozen people or so. I mean, the tops of the buildings, everybody looking out. It's, wow, what's he going to say? And I bet you people behind him on the roof saw what he was writing. Those with good eyesight. I mean, there's... And whatever he wrote when he stood up and said, "You who are without sin, cast the first stone," leads people to believe that he wrote the Ten Commandments down there. Well, I bet you he didn't have to write much of the Ten Commandments down there. Okay. Or maybe he wrote some other things that were more to the point. Like he could have stopped at the verse 2, "Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself." And one by one, they left. I would imagine there was probably a few that couldn't wait to leave after that, and they almost ran away. Why? Because the sin of this one woman was not as great as the sin that was in their own heart about the Word of God, about actually using the Word of God, loving the Word of God. They all agreed on the letter of the law, but not in the spirit. They did not desire the Word of God. They did not consider it to be more than gold, yea, much more than fine gold, and sweeter also than the honeycomb. The two things that man longs for, money and clothes, the appearance. Isn't it great that the Word of God boils that down? Money and appearance. Okay, now we can also be sweeter than the honeycomb and sustenance for food, you know, for the body and what the body puts on. More people are more interested in what they wear rather than the sustenance of the body. Models have been known to starve themselves to death so they can put on the finest fashions and strut down the runway. And it's like, you're kidding me. People have been known to hurt their health. Years ago, they had a product called Fen-Phen. Remember Fen-Phen? I don't know if anybody. Okay, Fen-Phen. It was a great diet thing, right? It was herbal, all natural. Okay? It caused so many heart attacks and other debilitating problems with the body. And it wasn't you could just stop taking it. Once you stopped taking it, the problems were still there. The effects that it had on the body were terrible. Finally, the FDA got off their butt and said, "Hey, we're going to outlaw this stuff." It's like, well, it took this long? It took this much? But people, even after that, were looking for a similar product because they cared more about the appearance of the body than the body itself. In churches, people care more about the appearance rather than the body itself. Am I coming to church to help support, to help build, to help edify? No, I'm just going to sit in the pew in the back, make fun of the preacher. Okay. Oh, I'm only doing it in front of my wife and kids on the way home. Well, what's the next generation of this church, of Christianity? It's that children that you're speaking bad about the pastor and other people in church about. You ever notice this in church? You start talking to their kid and then they'll come up along to listen to the conversation. They don't want the kid to say anything. Embarrassing. If your kid ever said anything embarrassing to get you in front of other people, it's like, wow, you said that out loud. Come on, man. But it doesn't take a whole lot for us sometimes to have our heart, to have our mind, to have our attention turned away from God to other things. I remember when crock pots came out. Yes, I am that old. When I was a kid, there was no such thing as a crock pot. Mom put the stove in the thing and let it burn. And no, she, well, sometimes it burnt. But, you know, she put the stew on the stove and everything. And then crock pots came out. My mom said, ooh. So she bought one. She set everything up. She put it on. Turn up the thing, let it cook, walked away, and it still burnt. Because, I don't know, she forgot to add enough water. Anyway, but in churches, people were all of a sudden, because their crock pot would burn. I got stuff cooking. It's going to be ready. Otherwise, it's going to be nasty. And it's like, preacher. I remember that in churches. There were some women that were just, you know, dinner. So I like fried chicken. You can cook it the night before and eat it the next day, cold even. You know, isn't it amazing? I love chicken. Baked, broiled, boiled. It's like, man, oh man, I love chicken. Pizza. Pizza, you can make it 20 minutes, man. Okay, you got to buy the pizza dough already made, okay? And put your stuff on it, warm it up. It's good. You can even put that in the microwave. The dough winds up sometimes being a little runny in the middle, but who cares? It tastes good. Okay, 20 minutes later. Instapot. I love Instapot spaghetti. It tastes like somebody's been cooking it all day. I mean, serious. And it's half hour. So I don't have to worry about something cooking when during services. But you know, there are some people that still worry about stuff cooking. I can't remember their name, though. They had a song about going to Luby's in Texas. That's it. You guys all know that with the 50-weight gravy and everything. Hurry up, Pastor. Finish preaching because I got to make it to Luby's before the other people do. In that little seam of Baptists right there. Okay. Yeah, he knew about it. Where people just, we need to get out and go eat. It doesn't take a whole lot for our heart and mind and attention to be turned away from God. So, those of you who are without sin, cast that first stone against Solomon. Okay, that's why I brought this up, because it just, I don't know, maybe I'm tired of it. Maybe the Lord is just impressed, because I wasn't going this direction when I first started studying for my turn. But the heart of Solomon at this time was for God. We forget that point. So much where he built God's house first and in his own. Okay? Not like the people in later years when God says, look, it's time for you to build my house, and that you're not. You even object and say, no, it's not time, it's not time. Hey, our new ruler over there in Persia may object. And then 100 years later, that new ruler, the new ruler then back in Persia was helping because of one man, Nehemiah. Nehemiah heard the report. Jerusalem is still in ruins. The worship of the Lord is non-existent. The temple still needs to be finished off. After 100 years, he was wondering that. Okay, I'm adding that. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but when you start looking at, you know, when this happened and this happened, that's chronology. Is so important in the Bible. So that way you know when this happened and et cetera. When this book was written, the book of Haggai was written 100 years before Nehemiah. Okay, but they're flip-flopped in the book. Because it's major prophets, minor prophets. I don't know. So Nehemiah hears the word, and what's the first thing? Man, he starts crying. Because the heart of the people are turned against God. Or turned away from God. Even after God sent this prophet Haggai and told him flat out, it's time. Go up into the hills, get the wood, mine the ore, do all this stuff, get your resources here and build my house. And after 100 years, it's not done. And Nehemiah weeps, Lord, for we have sinned. It's a couple hundred years after, you know, Babylon came in and the Persians and the Medes, had already come in and took over Babylonia. And he's saying, man, we still haven't built? Lord, we still have no respect for your house? Worse than that, we have no respect for your word. That's the sin I think he was talking about. Not the original ones, well, not the whole slew of sins that happened, you know, in Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all this stuff, where they turned their heart, where the entire town, entire country turned their heart against God. Or had their heart turned against God. Man, and he weeps. They did not desire the word of the Lord as if their very life depended on it. More than food, more than raiment, more than gold. Their treasure, and that's where I brought out the points about the treasure of their heart was not in the things of God, in the house of the Lord. Where he set up, he said, this is my house shall be known as the house of prayer. You make a prayer here, I will hear. I will answer from heaven. If my people who are called by my name return and repent, I will hear from heaven and heal their land and bless them. We just look for the blessings. Lord, I hope this suffices for today and bless me. It's like, man, whose heart is turned away from God? Sorry. We looked at the consider yourself. That was in the book of Haggai. Consider yourself. Consider your ways. Not someone else's. Not Solomon's or David's or Abraham's or any other one of the prophets you want to take out in stone. Because the people did that, by the way, to the prophets of God. They took them out. They stoned them. They slayed them. They sawed them asunder. They took and they actually had a saw and they sawed these people in half. And people stood around and cheered. How do we know this? Well, there was a whole group of people in front of Jesus when he was put up on the cross. And they cheered. They said, look, you claim to be the Son of God. Get yourself down off of this cross and show us. Show us these things. They said, wait a minute, you haven't read the Old Testament. Where he was slaughtered as a lamb for our sins. Where he was even mute. Instead of declaring his rights. Which, that's the first thing we do. We declare our rights. It's my right. Rather than, God, what should I do? We're all up in arms about my rights. Except for when the government shut down the churches and said, oh, for health reasons, there'll be no church services. And everybody said, okay. No, and people said, no, it's time to get up and revolt. No, it's not time. No, it's not time. No, it's time to get back to worshiping God. No, it's not time. We didn't have such a big declaration there. Pastor says, hey, we're going to meet. Doesn't matter. The emperor of the state, old Ensley, he didn't release you guys, us to come back to services. Hey, Patrick says, we're going to do it. You want to put a mask on? Put a mask on. You want to wear gloves? Wear gloves. You want to not come? Not come. But those who want to come, come. Amen. We didn't declare our right. We just said, no, this is right in the sight of God. Like Peter and those guys, when they were hauled before the Sanhedrin court, they said, look, you decide. Is it better that we obey you? Or is it better that we obey God? There was only one guy in that entire group that said, look, if this is of God, we can't fight against it. If it's not of God, it'll fall. That was his advice. And people said, oh, okay, we'll go along with Gamaliel there. And we'll listen to what he says. And they let him go after they beat him. Oh, and God was victorious in church that day, by the way, in services. Was it on a Sunday? No. Was it on a Saturday? No. It was probably in the middle of the week. But people came together and said, I desire to be in the house of the Lord. to hear Peter and those guys say what victory God gave them and us. To encourage us, to show us that God is still supreme. To help encourage us that in our faith, that we know our faith is also by sight because we see what God has done. Yes, faith is not to be lived by sight and sight alone, but faith is to be lived by the belief in the very words of God. Do we love the very words of God? Oh, we say we do. Like I said, that's what this psalm brought for me today. Because it seemed like this is all about the word of God, the testimonies of God, the fear of the Lord. It's clean. It's not full of all the other stuff that fear comes along with. And so the treasure of Solomon's heart is made known, what he considers important in his life. Consider your ways. Well, I don't know if I can live that way. Well, that's where Jesus says, consider the fowls of the air. Consider the lilies of the field. We went over that. Consider these things. Do they have to work at what they get? No, they just got to show up. The crows, all they got to do is show up. Oh, hey, there's food right there. They just got to fly around. Oh, there's food down there. You can always tell when something died. Well, maybe in Idaho. Well, as I head home, you can always tell when something died. There's this black bunch of crows there on the ground. They're eating away. You come along, half of them fly away. The other half kind of to see if you're going to hit them or not. And then they go back to eating. I mean, they don't go very far. Sometimes they're just so full. I mean, you see a couple of them go like this because they just overate. Wow, this is a buffet for them. And it's like, wow. Who put that there? Oh, the guy hit the car. I mean, no. God provided a meal. Wow. And the lilies, they don't have to go very far. Well, because they can't. I mean, you know, they're kind of stuck. Unless anybody ever saw The Day of the Daffodils, it's a science fiction movie from the 50s. You know, did you know the daffodils are from space? Seriously. It was brought here by a comet, and they planted those daffodils. Well, The Day of the Daffodils is about mutant daffodils that come around and eat people. And they move. So anyway, but these lilies, they don't move. That was science fiction. Yes, I know the difference, but, you know, they didn't move. They just sit there and soak up the sun. They look at the sun, which is provided by God. And have you ever seen them? The flower just, oh, sunrise. Sunset. Flowers do that, don't they? I mean, if you haven't seen it, you guys got to start looking because it's wondrous. It's like, well, wasn't that point this morning over that way when I left this morning? And now it's pointed that way? Yeah. Why? Because it's following the sun. It's following that provision of God. Do we, in considering the lilies, follow the provision of God like that? No, I'm going to go and figure out how to do make it work, figure out the society, get a job, work all this stuff. Yes, we're supposed to have a budget. We're supposed to do all this stuff because that's in the Word of God about no man owing anything to anybody. And we have to do things wisely, wise as serpents, but meek as doves. Come on. But that doesn't have to be the thing we chase after. As the heart pants after the water brook, my heart pants after the Word of God, after God Himself, who has revealed Himself through His Word. We don't believe that for our sustenance. No, because we say we got to do it through the strength of our arms. But the arm of flesh will fail you. Bad backs? Anybody got a bad back? Bad knees? Anybody got a bad knee? Bad shoulders? Everybody got bad shoulders? Bad neck? Everybody got bad... Oh, I notice you're not raising your hand. You're not even laughing because you don't have that yet. Another couple of years. Don't worry about it. It'll get there. It's like, you know... The the arm of flesh will fail us. And then where are we left? And then we turn to God? We should make the habit of turning to God while we're young. We're still young, by the way. I'm not in a cane yet or in a walker, even if it's got streamers on it. You know, to go fast. Seriously. It's the thing. What do we chase after? Where's the treasure of our heart? Yeah, we got this treasure in earthen vessels, we read, Jesus told us. Not for our glory, not for our use, but for the glory of God. For the love for God. It starts here. It starts within our hearts. Yeah, Peter or Paul in 2 Corinthians told us this. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And then he goes on with this: persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, troubled on every side yet not distressed, perplexed but not in despair. This time will do that to you, this day and age. Actually, any day and age will do that to you. It doesn't have to be just this one, but this one, almost out in the open. The anti-Christ movement. And it isn't God, because people say, oh, the Hindus are fine. You know, the indigenous peoples, they worship the God that they worship, the spirits that they worship. You know, the Muslims are fine, and all these other Hindus and Shintos and all the other people, they're okay. But you Christians, you're the problem with this country. And if you've never heard that quote from one of our popular political leaders, where you been? Okay, Christians who cling to their God and their guns. It's like, wow, nothing wrong with that, because God always comes first. But it's still, are we actually those type of people? We have an earth and vessels. I mean, are we not forsaken? Do we still look to God? Are we perplexed? Yeah, I'm perplexed, because there's like some things here, you know, there's stuff that we should be able to get in the store. There's an over-the-counter headache medicine. Seriously, headache and body medicine, medication. It's Excedrin, okay? That works for me. If it doesn't work for you, that's fine. It works for me, okay? It really does. Yes, I need Excedrin. Okay. Yes, I need that at times. Oh, I don't take any of that stuff. Well, whatever. Just telling you about me. Telling you of my fault, okay? Yes, I take over-the-counter drugs, medication. Yes, I do have a stronger one, but if they do a random drug test at work and it shows up, it's like, no, I'm in trouble. It's like, come on. But I save that for Saturdays and Fridays and Saturdays. And it works. Wife went to the thing, and honey, we're out of this stuff. Yeah, you went to the store, you didn't buy any? They didn't have any. It's not on the shelf. Now, Excedrin is on the shelf, and nobody buys it because it's like twice, three times as much as the other Equate stuff. So she says, well, I'm waiting to see, you know, because I don't want to pay that. But it's empty. It's not on the shelves. There's other stuff. I go look for it, and well, remember, honey, we went shopping and it wasn't there. And you thought COVID was bad. The COVID's not the problem right now. This government wants to have you in their food lines. Okay, you're just a conspiracy theorist. Fine. It's happening though, isn't it? Oh, before your very eyes. Oh, and this is not the end. This is the end times, but it's not the tribulation. We have it in earthen vessels, and all the stuff that goes on doesn't bother us. It may concern us, it may fill us with a little bit of worry, but it doesn't make us anxious. Why? Because our faith is not in the government. It's not in, you know, things we see. Our faith is in God. Started looking up how to make these home brews. You know, there's a lot of stuff to make home medicines. There's a lot of processes you got to go through to gain a little bit of stuff. It's like, wait a minute. it's like you're kidding me. That's going to take weeks to just make this one little bottle of medication that I need to make, you know. And then you got to get like 10 times the stuff in order to get a, you know, a little handful. It's like, wow, that's a lot. It's easier to go to the store. But Paul says, always bearing about in the body, in this life, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That wherever we go, that's what we take. Take up your cross and follow me, Jesus said. Okay. Why? Because it's a life of sacrifice. Yeah, you have to give up some stuff. You have to give up self. I'm not going to start naming stuff. You ever notice that when you make lists, and the time is gone. When you start making lists, or at least me as a teacher, I've noticed that, and when preachers come up and they start making lists, people will follow that list as if that's it. Oh, there's only four items on that list? Well, that's great. No. More than four items. Because everyone has a sub-thing that if you bother to study it, meditate on it, like the Bereans did to find out if these things were so, you'd find out that there's like hundreds of things on the list. But we always bury about in the body, living for Jesus. And like I said, it's not giving up of things so much as it is giving up of self. Our own desires, our own lusts, our own pride of lives, our own arrogance, the things that we consider, gee, if I gave up that, I wouldn't be myself. No, you'd be Jesus. You'd be conformed to the image of God's Son, which is what God's original plan was for you to begin with, for us, to be conformed in the very image of Christ. But I'll lose myself, yeah. Because your old self was just a stinker. He wasn't a very nice guy, person. For our light affliction, verse 17, I'll end on this, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Temporal means temporary, for a short time. Yeah, but I'm going to be crippled for the rest of my life. Yeah, that's still a short time when you're talking about forever, isn't it? Brother Swope had that testimony. We were talking one day, and he says, you know, if I wasn't crippled, if I didn't have to have my hip replaced three times, I would not be in church. I would still be a drunk. I would still be... And he went on with a list. It's like, you're kidding me. Yeah, because this keeps me here. And this, or that, I don't remember which one, is just temporary. It's for the rest of my life, yes, but my rest of my life here. My life for forever, I get a new body. My life for forever is with God in the city. My life for forever is a lot longer than here. So yeah, this is just temporarily. It's for a moment. And it works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. It works in us our faith, which lasts forever. Which we have from now forever. Because it doesn't end. It lasts to the end of God. How's that? If you guys need something, it lasts to the end of God. If there's no end to God, then fine. And we look at things which are, we look not at things which are seen. That's 17 and 18. But at the things which are not seen. Your faith. God working in people. God working in us. God working in each other. That's what we're here for. We're going to go ahead and dismiss. And get ready for preaching. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father, for all things you've given and provided. Father, I ask, Lord, you would just illuminate your word by way of your Holy Spirit into our hearts and into our minds, that, Father, we would come to love your word, and, Father, seek it every day, and that, Father, we would seek your face as well in prayer and supplications, Father, and that, Father, we would not look at the things that we see and let that guide our life, but look at the unseen things, the things that you are working in behind this present world. Father, I pray and ask, Lord, you would just watch over this church. Father, pray that you get all the glory this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord. Pray that we see souls saved. And Father, Lord, that this church may be a light here in this area. For Christ's name I pray. Amen.